the words of Philippians chapter 4, where the Bible tells us the words of a person who has had plenty, but also has had times of less. In the words of Paul, he says, I have learned whatsoever state or position I am in, I have learned to be content. These words are a great lesson for Christians. They give insight into the life of Christ, a man who was God, who owns everything, had everything, but who was guilty of nothing, and yet his blood, he shed his blood that we may have something. His blood running down from his body from the cross of Calvary gave us salvation. Never more meaningful today is the phrase that blood is the sustainer of life than when we can see the cross with our master nailed to it. This morning I wish for us together to study about the blood of Christ that redeems us. His blood, number one, is very real. For anybody who's not positive that his blood is real, you need to just but go to the book of God and just listen to the words of God. There are far too many of us who still argue and we debate. We debate the reality of the blood of Christ. They say, how can a little blood go so far and do so much? I would simply say to them, just read your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22, where the text says, and almost all things by the law purge with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. In other words, if there had been no blood shed, there would be no remission of sin. Put another way, if Christ had not been nailed to the cross, we would not have been redeemed. This verse lets us to know that we could not, we cannot, and we will not be redeemed without the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. Just, and somebody may say, well, preacher, just explain the blood to me a little bit. What is the blood? Well, as human beings, we are made up of two principal components. We are made up of two elements of man's physical being, of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. Flesh is not only the principle of physical life, but it also sustains bodily life or the soul. Therefore, we can understand that blood is important in both life and redemption. Way back in Exodus chapter 12, it was the blood of a lamb upon the doorpost that caused God to pass over the Jews in Egypt. Without the blood, they had no token that God would pass over them. Without the blood, they would have been destroyed. Just as with us, without the blood of Christ which saved us from death, we too would be destroyed. So in Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse number 7 for one moment. But unto the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. We church, God shed his son's blood, or his son shed his blood because of our iniquities. We were full of errors, church. Many of us still are. We have errors in our life, not arrows, but errors in our life. And somebody may say, well, preacher, I don't never do anything wrong. Well, I think you just did. There's no way that you can live in this life without doing something wrong. And maybe you don't do anything intentionally. Maybe it's just a simple matter of crossing my trail or my path and stepping on my feet and not saying anything about it. Maybe it's a simple matter of just not calling the sick of whom you go to church with. Maybe it's a simple matter of not falling on your knees every so often and asking God for forgiveness. Maybe it's a simple matter that you don't recognize the Father in heaven. But there is something that we all have. You know how I know? Because the Bible says no man is perfect. No, not one except Jesus Christ. So we all have something in our past. And many of those skeletons are alive and well in many of our closets. For we cannot live in this life and not do some harm. And not necessarily bodily harm. I'm not talking about that kind of harm. But we must understand that the blood of God is very real, church. His blood, number two, is for redeeming. If you'll notice in the Old Testament, It was a lamb then, and today it is the lamb. Watch verse number 22 again. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The difference is today, church, that in the Old Testament it was a literal lamb, and in today's in the New Testament it is a figurative lamb, the Lamb of Jesus Christ. So when you think about it, church, and when you look at it, when you go all the way back up to verse number 19, you'll see that for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took what? He took blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you." It's always been in the blood, church, but today it's the blood that redeems us. In John chapter 1, about verses number 29 and about verse number 30, John looked up one day and saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold," or "look at the Lamb of God, which taketh the sin of the world. This is the one that I talked about coming after me, which is preferred before me, for he was before me." In other words, even though he comes after me, he was already here before me. God was here from the beginning of time, church. But there are still those who say, "Well, I don't believe it. I don't believe there's no such man who did all of this for me. I don't believe there's no such man who can do all of this for me, because I just don't understand it, so I don't believe it." And there's the problem. Most of us don't believe because we don't understand. And when we don't understand, we just say it's impossible. It can't be true. So John said, even though he comes after me, he was already before me. Now, what kind of lamb is Jesus? Well, all we have to do is go back to the Old Testament and watch what Exodus chapter 12, starting around verse number 5, says. The animal was a lamb. The lamb was to be without blemish. Jesus also, church, was perfect. Pilate described Jesus in Luke chapter 23 and verse number 4. He said, "I find no fault in this man." Peter describes his blood as precious in 1 Peter 1 and 19. As a lamb without blemish and without a spot. The lamb, according to Exodus chapter 12, was to be a male. Jesus was a man. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "Though he were a son, yet he learned by obedience, by things which he suffered." In verse number 6 of Exodus chapter 12, it tells us the lamb was to be killed. Why, church, did Jesus come to the world? He came to die, church. So he had to be killed too. He had to be crucified. The lamb was to be roasted in the flesh. Jesus also died a cruel and a horrible death. Whips tore through his skin to his bones, according to Psalm chapter 22 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, and it's melted in the midst of my bowels." Church, do you get the portrait that I'm trying to paint for you this morning? I'm trying to simply show you that the blood of Christ is what redeems us, and what Christ had to go through in order to redeem us. You know what? There are some today who still don't find redemption through the blood of Christ. And to them, I would simply say one thing. There is none other way to find redemption but through the blood of Christ. And if you can't find the redemption in the blood of Christ, it's because you refuse to accept it. You refuse to accept it because the redemption is in His blood. And many folks say, "Well, if I get baptized, I'll be all right." Well, do you understand the principle of baptism? In baptism, it's where the water and the blood commingle together. You can't get baptized and have your sins washed away without going down into the watery grave of baptism. And in the water, it's where the blood mixes with the water in order that we might be redeemed. In order that we might become a part of the body of Christ, we must be baptized. And many folks say, "Well, I was baptized, preacher. long time ago. And when I got baptized, I understood it to be the only time I would need to be baptized. Well, if you wasn't baptized in the Church of Christ, I got to put a damper on that for you. Because if you wasn't taught right, guess what? You wasn't baptized right. And if you're not baptized right, you can't be right. Isn't that right, church? Then, church, we've got to understand that His blood is the reason that we are redeemed. According to that verse number 22, once again, the Bible says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And do you understand that word purge means remove? We are purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. No redemption for us except through the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. Why do we need to be redeemed, somebody may say? Well, we needed to be redeemed because sin had become between man and God. And it still is, but now because of the shedding of His blood, we can be redeemed. Redeemed means the deliverance from sin. And this is what Jesus Christ has done for us, church. Redemption is in His blood. When your sins have been forgiven, according to Psalms chapter 32 and about verse number 1, the Bible says, Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. His blood, the blood of Christ I speak of, the blood that offers us redemption. His blood provides security. In 1 John chapter 2, around about verse number 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God will cover anybody. His blood can cover anybody, but they must come to Him. And there are folk all the time who say, well, that's a hard thing to do, preacher. And I tell you this almost every time I stand up before you. Some folk just don't want to give up that life that they lead. They say, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying myself. I'm enjoying myself and I don't want to give it up. I'm going to go down this way. And I got news for you. You are going to go down that way if you don't give it up. But if you allow the blood of Christ to wash your sins clean, wash your sins away, then you can become a member of the Lord's body and you can have redemption in your life. How truly the words, when you understand that He also, but he was killed or redeemed or His blood was shed for the sins of the world. How true are the words of that old song that He's got the whole world in His hand. Isn't that right, church? The whole world rests in the hands of Jesus Christ. And I know what some folks say. Some folks say, well, I wish He wouldn't have that person over there in His hand. He don't deserve to be in there. But you know, we don't make judgment calls like that. We must pray for our enemies. Pray for the people that you don't even like. Pray for the people that you do like. Well, you know, it's nothing for us to pray for our family. That's what we always do. We pray for our family. But it's the guy that hangs on the corner down the block that you don't like. You don't want to pray for second story Leon, in other words. You don't want to pray for Knucklehead Jr. that lives down the street. But Knucklehead Jr. and second floor Leroy, they need redemption just as well. Then, with Christ having the whole world in His hand, His blood can sanctify. His blood can also justify. Go with me into the book of 1 Corinthians around chapter number 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, around about verse number, what verse do I want? I want verse number 9. And it says, now know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now this is the Bible speaking. This is not Brother Carter. This is what the Bible says. It says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulteress, nor infamite, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkenness, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But then in verse number 11 rather, and such were some of you, but ye are what? Ye are washed, but ye, and you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of who? The Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now I tell you something, church. It's a wonderful thing to know that I have some security and some safety. It's a wonderful thing to know that I can be justified and I can be sanctified. No, I'm not sanctified like what some of you may talk about, but I am sanctified through the blood of Christ. I don't stand up with a tambourine and jump over the pews and all of that kind of stuff, but I'm still sanctified through the blood of Christ. His blood brought us redemption that we might become a peculiar people according to Titus chapter 2, that he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In other words, and when we become a Christian and we love doing the right things, we must understand. Some of us are peculiar anyway. I just got to say that. But that's not the kind of peculiar the Bible was talking about. Redemption, I may as well tell you this. Redemption cannot be bought in a six-pack. Redemption cannot be bought in a plastic bottle. Redemption cannot be ordered online from eBay or Amazon.com. Not even Walmart carries redemption, church. Walmart may be able to sell you a Bible, but ownership of a Bible doesn't in itself guarantee redemption. For according to my Bible, and I'm sure it's in the Bible that you read as well, we must present ourselves holy and acceptable unto God. We must not simply have faith, but we must allow our faith to work, because faith without works, according to James chapter 2, won't get it, will it, church? We must not only be ready, willing, and able to be good Christians, but we must be good Christians. Being a ready Christian doesn't guarantee you redemption. You've got to be a Christian that's always ready, because you never know when the day and the time may come. When you become a Christian, And God raised us up to be peculiar people. A peculiar people. You know what a peculiar people is? A peculiar people is a Christian who loves doing the right thing and being about the work and the business of the Lord. That's truly redemption in His blood. Becoming a Christian today, church, can change your life forever. But after becoming a Christian, there are some who say, well, I had a tough time, preacher, and I'm about done now, church. Some folk will say, preacher, I had a tough time becoming a Christian, because that means I had to give up too much stuff. You know, and when you think about it, church, stuff is what put us in the position that we're in most of the time. Stuff can mess us up. Stuff can throw us off the track and take us out of the race. And there are some of us who just say, well, God won't mind if I falter just a little bit. But you know something about faltering just a little bit? That might be the last falter you make. And guess where you'll be caught at? In your mistakes or in your iniquities. I put an S on that. Because many of us can't do one thing. We've got to do a lot of stuff wrong. Some of us we don't just take it for granted that God is simply not looking at me, but God sees us all. He sees me, He sees you, He sees your family, He sees your loved one, He sees everybody. And guess what? That blood that we were talking about can stretch out and cover all of us. Allow the blood to cover you this morning. How, preacher, can I allow the blood to cover me? Well, if you're not covered by the blood already, you become a Christian by hearing the gospel, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And even though it's a little bit chilly outside, you don't mind, do you? Brother Jackson said, no, he'll baptize you this morning. It's heated up, he said. Heated pool. That's something you pay for when you go to a hotel, a heated pool.
But we've got a heated pool in church, and it can get you farther than a heated pool in the Hyatt Regency or something. And not only that, church, but if you are a Christian, but somewhere your life went astray. And don't tell me that Christians don't go astray. I hear from them all the time. I just don't tell you about it. They can go astray too. They get off the track. They get off the track and they don't know how to come back. I'll tell you how to come back. Don't just walk. Run down the aisle. Run down front here. Stand before the church and let the church know that I've already went to God about this, but now I'm coming to you. I need you to pray for me that I may grow stronger. I need you, Father, to get me where I need to be, where you want me to be. Not where I want to be, but where you want me to be. And then when you can do that, when you can get right with God, then you get right with your fellow man. Then you get right with your own self. Then you'll be back on the track again. And will I be covered forever? No, because you'll probably fall off again somewhere along the line. But then you go back to God. Because God told us in the Bible, it tells us that how many times are we to forgive? If He told us how many times to forgive, doesn't that mean He's willing to forgive us also? He said 7 times 7. That means unlimited forgiveness. I don't like you, but I got to forgive you. I don't like you, but I have to love you. I don't like you, but you are my brother or you are my sister, and I have to do the right thing. And that's what folk get hung up on a lot. I know my time is just about up, but I got a couple of minutes. Folk get hung up a lot of time on things going on in the world. They get hung up on why brother so-and-so is able to do this or do that, and he calls himself a Christian. Well, you know what? That's your problem, and that's his problem. Let the two not be entwined. You tell him what's right, and then you go on about your business, because you're not going to be able to save everybody. Isn't that right, church? You just get the word out. You can't make them do it. That's like you pulling that horse to the water, but you guess what? You can't make him drink. That's the same way it is with people. You can tell them what's right. I can stand here all day. And you know something? I could be like John the Baptist was. I could preach one sermon forever and ever, as long as I could have a voice to speak. I could preach one sermon, and some folks still wouldn't get it. And God knew that, so when He sent out the disciples, what did He tell them at one time? He told them to do what? If they don't hear you, shake the dust off. In other words, get going. So you tell folk and you try to get them. And I'm not encouraging anyone not to tell folk to do right. I'm simply saying that sometimes, and usually it's in our own family. Usually it's our family member that we can't get to do right. Out of all my sisters, I got all of my sisters in the church at one. They don't necessarily go all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But I got all my sisters in the Church of Christ except one. I cannot get her for nothing. I got the one that I thought was the stubborn one to get in, but I can't get the other one. And I've been trying for years, but she calls me almost every night of the week. I don't understand. I'm reading such and such, and I don't understand. And I'll try to explain things to her, but I just can't get her. Sometimes it takes somebody along with you to explain things to folk. Isn't that right? And sometimes when you go to the Word of God, what you tell people is just not enough to get them to move. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. Don't stop telling them, but at some point in time, you know when your words are not going to be enough, and you have to say, Lord, give me strength. Tell me what to, show me what to do, Lord. And then for those of you who think that God is going to come knock on your door and show you what to do, you got another thing coming. God doesn't work that way. He's already covered us with His blood. His blood has already redeemed us. And the word that we have from God, the answer that you want, is going to be found in your Bible. No telephone call, no email, no text messages, no tweets and Twitters or whatever they're called. None of that stuff, for God doesn't use that. Technology belongs to Him, but He doesn't use it. He's already told you what He wants you to hear. And no sudden new revelations are about to come out. So if you are not that Christian and you have fallen off, I've already told you what to do. Just simply come, go to God first, and then come before the church. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song.